ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवद् गीता एज इट इज उन्मय उरविल Chapter 16, Text 16. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Aneka Chitta Vibhranta Mohajala Samavritaha Prasakta Kama Bhogeshu Patanti Narakeshu Chau. Translation, describing people of demoniac nature. Thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, they become too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and fall down into hell. Purport. The demoniac man knows no limit to his desire to acquire money that is unlimited. He thinks only of how much assessment he has just now and schemes to engage that stock of wealth further and further. For that reason, he does not hesitate to act in any sinful way and so deals in the black market for illegal gratification. He is enamored by the possessions he has already, such as land, family, house, and bank balance. And he is always planning to improve them. He believes in his own strength. That's just been stated in the previous verses. Balavan, aham balavan. I am powerful, he thinks. He believes in his own strength and does not know that whatever he is gaining is due to his past good deeds. He is given an opportunity to accumulate such things, but he has no conception of past causes. He simply thinks that all his mass of wealth is due to his own endeavor. A demoniac person believes in the strength of his personal work, not in the law of karma. According to the law of karma, a man takes his birth in a high family, or becomes rich, or very well educated, or very beautiful because of good work in the past. The demoniac think that all these things are accidental and due to the strength of one's personal ability. They do not sense any arrangement behind all the varieties of people, beauty, and education. Anyone who comes into competition with such a demoniac man is his enemy. There are many demoniac people, and each is enemy to the others. This enmity becomes more and more deep between persons, then between families, then between societies, and at last between nations. Therefore, there is constant strife, war, and enmity all over the world. Each demoniac person thinks that he can live at the sacrifice of all others. Generally, a demoniac person thinks of himself as the supreme God, and a demoniac preacher tells his followers, "Why are you seeking God elsewhere? You are all yourselves God. Whatever you like, you can do. Don't believe in God. Throw away God. God is dead." These are the demoniac's preachings. Although the demoniac person sees others equally rich and influential, or even more so, he thinks that no one is richer than he and that no one is more influential than he. As far as promotion to the higher planetary system is concerned, he does not believe in performing yajñas or sacrifices. Demons think that they will manufacture their own process of yajña and prepare some machine by which they will be able to reach any higher planet. The best example of such a demoniac man was Ravana. He offered a program to the people by which he would prepare a staircase so that anyone could reach the heavenly planets without performing sacrifices such as are prescribed in the Vedas. Similarly, in the present age, such demoniac men are striving to reach the higher planetary systems by mechanical arrangements. These are examples of bewilderment. The result is that without their knowledge, they are gliding towards hell. Here, the Sanskrit word moha jal is very significant. Jal means net, like fish caught in a net. They have no way to come out. Aneka chitta vibhranta moha jala samavritaha prasakta kama bhogeshu patanti narakeshu chau. Thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, they become too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and fall down into hell. We're sitting in this peaceful place. Seems very peaceful to us. Although for the insects, the many insects that are here, they may not feel it so peaceful because there's always some bird or some frog trying to catch them. The struggle for existence goes on. But to us it looks very peaceful. And it is compared to the big bad world out there. Even if we go from here to Salem, we go to Salem and think, oh, what a big and chaotic city. And of course Salem is, even though it's quite a large population, it's very provincial compared to Bangalore, which is not so far away. And generally, in the bigger the population center, the more there is crime per capita. I don't think in this area there'll be any murders. Practically unheard of. Practically unheard of. Sri Ramcharan Aravinda told me he went to the police station to get permission for putting some mic or some loudspeaker, and the police, they're just sitting there, nothing to do. Even if people have disputes, they'll sort it out locally among themselves. And even they didn't want to give permission because they said, what do you want permission? No one ever takes permission for anything. The police, it's a superimposition since the British time. Otherwise people locally, they work things out. Anyway, there is a big, bad, nasty world out there. And if you look at the news, you'll see so many bad things are going on. How can people be so bad, so nasty? Doctors, we'd think that the doctors, they're very good people helping others, but the main business of doctors is to take out your blood and take out your money. Lawyers, you'd think they'd be very fair, but their business is also to by various means extract money from people. Politicians, well, you don't even expect them to be good. There was a time when people actually thought that, and still that's there in India, where to some extent the people think that the politicians actually care for them and they're actually trying to help the people and the country. Is it like that in Poland? I don't think in England and America a lot of the people just completely lost faith. Especially after it came out that they were deliberately lied about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq so that they could go in and do their mass destruction of Iraq. I wasn't in the Western world, but I guess that was a turning point. Bankers. How they're very rich people. Monsanto, the word Monsanto in the Western world is synonymous with all that could be bad about humankind. And here in India also, they promise you'll get crops, better crops. People take loans, and then there's no mercy. They're the Monsanto company, they're giving all this. It's supposed to be better food, although no one knows actually what's going to be the result of these genetically modified crops. And joining together with, by money power, with politicians, in South America, they take over huge areas of land and just destroy it. And the native people who are living there have to be cleared off the land, which they've lived on for generations, so this Monsanto can destroy more land. And it's evil, practically we could say evil. They're all like Rakshasa. The word Rakshasa is a Sanskrit word, which means people of very bad inclination. They don't care if other people are killed. The politicians, they're making wars. Why are military forces from the United States of America and other countries, why are they in Afghanistan, Syria? What are they doing? Democracy? What's going on? I don't know if anyone knows, even the soldiers themselves. I don't even know if the politicians know. It's just killing for the sake of killing, driving people out of their land, driving them out of their homes. You're sitting in your home, and any time some drone or bomb can land on you, this Monsanto makes food, so-called food, which makes you diseased. All they want is money, and they don't care how they get it. Srila Prabhupada writes, they do not hesitate in any illegal way. They don't mind if others are put into pain so that their own self-interest will be for what they consider to be their own self-interest. Telling lies and presuming that the public will believe them. And the public in general did believe them. And the public thought, yes, we should pay our taxes to support the war, to destroy this evil person. But they had other motives. So in other words, they were pretending to protect the people. But their real aim was to cause distress to others. How can people be so bad? Of course, there's mass abortion going on all over the world, mass animal slaughter going on all over the world. That's also evil, people don't think. What about pornography? Why do the governments of the world allow this? Well, the governments in Muslim-dominated countries generally they block pornography sites. So that's a good thing. Human trafficking, they so many bad things. They capture young girls and sell them, and they keep them as prisoners, and they're just forced into prostitution. Horrible things, horrible. How can people be so bad? We can't imagine, is it? Could you imagine that your child would grow up and do that? Something like that? You can't imagine. Hitler is known as the most evil person of the 20th century, more in the Western world than here in India. He's very famous or infamous, but his mother, could she have imagined he would be so bad? You'd expect someone who's so evil to look really nasty and cruel, isn't it? But it's not necessarily like that. So I was talking about this, they're making lies to make wars. Well, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom who promulgated this lie, if you look at him, he looks like a very nice gentleman. He even calls himself a Christian. I wonder what Jesus would have to say about that. How his name can be so misused. But often people who are engaged in very sinful and evil activities, they might appear to be very sophisticated, dressed very nicely in a suit and talk in a very gentlemanly way. But they don't directly go and stick knives into people or shoot them, but they're manipulating it all. Their only goal is money, how to get more and more money, even though they've got far more money than they could know how to spend. But they want more and more and more. There was couple of years ago, a god brother of mine sent me a link to a short video clip of there was some impending tornado in Florida, and showed the whole situation, how people are just practically, civilization almost breaks down. And one of the people being interviewed talks about the thin veneer of civilization. In other words, as long as things are going on normally day to day, then people generally tend to act in a fairly civilized manner. But as soon as law and order breaks down, then people become, we say like animals, but probably actually worse than animals. At least in the Western world, it was like that. So if we see the news, we can't trust the news, the journalists are all lying, the newspapers and the TV, what can we trust? It's politicians, corporations, there's a term you won't be able to translate into Tamil, corporatocracy. The big money institutions, they manipulate governments and the world by their money power. So much hypocrisy. We may say, well, it's not like that in India, but we see again and again the big companies, with the cooperation of the state governments, usually it's the state government, they drive people off their land. That was probably the cause of the downfall of the ultimate, or the nail in the coffin, the last nail in the coffin of the communist government in West Bengal, when they, in that Nandigram in West Midnapore district, the police went in on the order of the government and killed a whole bunch of people who were protesting against the forcible takeover of their land for the sake of some big corporation. So these kind of things are going on in India also. We don't support the Maoists in India. But they're able to get support because these kind of things are going on. It seems to me that in India, the politicians, a lot of their energy just goes into cursing each other and saying how bad each other are, isn't it? Rather than thinking how to actually benefit the country, a lot of their energy just goes in just bad-mouthing each other. It's nothing new. We might think, oh, it was so much better in the past. And there's grounds for that also, because we have statement in Srimad Bhagavatam. So far I haven't been speaking much, you might think, about from scripture or shastra. But of course, this is discussed here in Bhagavad Gita, but from Srimad Bhagavatam we learn tatashchanu dinam dharma satyam socham shamadaya kalena balina rajan nankshantayor balang smritihi, that with the passing of Kali Yuga, with every single day, dharma, righteousness, will decline. With every single day, truthfulness will decline in this Kali Yuga, which means now. Cleanliness and purity will decline. Satsang, shotsang, shama. Tolerance. Different kinds of tolerance. Tolerance of heat, tolerance of cold, tolerance of other people. It's a common thing now in the Western world, isn't it? If someone is, what's it called? Road rage. Someone's stuck in a traffic jam and they just get out and get out of their car and shoot someone because they think he's not going fast enough or something like this. They can't tolerate that they're delayed by 5 seconds or something like that. I had that once a few years ago in Munich in the morning. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning. I was just walking out of the apartment I was staying in to go to the temple. And I was just walking, and it happened to be in front of the garage where someone kept their car, and I just walked. And there was a woman in the car, and I just turned, and she looked like so angry at me because I'd walked in front of her. She was planning to come out, and I delayed her coming out of the garage by about 5 seconds. She looked like so angry. Insane. But they think the world is meant for me, and if anyone does something which I don't like, then kshama, no tolerance. Daya, compassion, no compassion. Declines day by day. Kshama daya, kalena balena rajan nangshanta. Lifespan decreases, bodily strength decreases, mental strength decreases. So it might be true that in the past it was better, but it was never. It's not that if we go back in the past we'll find some time where everything was wonderful. Well, if you go back far enough to Satya Yuga, but there were still snakes, humans like snakes also. I was surprised recently reading one of Srila Prabhupada's articles from the Back to Godhead magazine that he himself was writing all the articles for in the 1950s. So you might think, well, India in the 1950s must have been much better. Maybe in some ways, but Srila Prabhupada was lamenting over the state of society, how degraded it was. He was especially talking about black marketeering, which is a major issue at the time. Rich merchants would purchase large stocks of grains and then sell them at a very high price to maximize their profits. Everyone needs to eat, so the poor people suffered, and somehow they have to get money. So they give in this way, by cornering the market, the rich were becoming richer. Black marketeering was a big problem at the time. And Srila Prabhupada wrote that, in the 1950s, he wrote that 20 years prior to that, he got information because he was in the pharmaceutical business, and some doctors told him that women were trading their most precious possession for quinine. That quinine was a cure for malaria. Otherwise, you could use tamarind leaves. Tamarind leaves. We have the tamarind tree, the tamarind leaves. That's it. Yeah, and in what's it called? Infusion of that cures malaria. But they were trading their most precious possession. What is the most precious possession? Means there? Chastity. Women would, to get quinine, maybe for their children, I don't know, maybe for themselves, the cure. The only known cure, it seems, if they didn't know about tamarind leaves, for malaria. So Srila Prabhupada wrote, that means in the 1930s that was going on in India. And if we go back even further, what would you think about Varanasi, in about, say, 700-800 years ago. Must have been very good, huh? Very religious city. Well, Vedanta Deshika from South India, from here, South Indian Kanchipuram, he wrote when he went to North India, he was shocked at how degraded the people. We must, if we were to be transported back in time, you think, oh, it's so good. But was there no evil? Was there no lust, greed, anger, exploitation? Must have been there. Varanasi, of course, is very famous as a religious city, but it's also been always a city of sex and lust. And by the way, always been like that. Even now it's famous, apart from being famous for its religious side, but it's got a huge area, red light district, brothel district also. So, okay, let's go back further in time. Srimad Bhagavatam, 5,000 years ago. Quote from Srimad Bhagavatam. A person who is too cruel is as good as dead. That means there were people like that at that time also. A person who is too cruel is as good as dead, even in this lifetime. No one likes a cruel person during his lifetime, and after his death, people curse him. Generally, after someone dies, you tend to remember the good things, isn't it? You don't want to think about the bad things. Okay, did this good. As long as someone's alive, you might not like them. But when they die, you say, well, actually, it's quite good. But someone who's really cruel, people curse him even after his death. On account of his self-identification with the body, he must be degraded and pushed into the darkest region of hell. So can you think of anyone like that 5,000 years ago? The time of Krishna? Extremely cruel. Kruramana. Kruramana means cruel. Krura. Sarpat. Sarpat krurat. Kala krurat. That word comes. A snake is cruel and a nasty person is cruel. Sarpat kurarta kara, more cruel than a snake, is a krura, a cruel person. Mantro shadiva shasarpa. A snake can be controlled by mantras and by medicine. Kala, what is that? Kala krura nivaryate, something like that. But there's no way to control a cruel person. Yeah, Kamsa is an example of a cruel person. Very cruel person. Does anyone know, I'm reading this verse from, translation of verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Who spoke this? A person who is too cruel is as good as dead. Can anyone think who spoke that verse? Kamsa. He himself knew that to be cruel is not good, but he was nevertheless exceptionally cruel. So it seems that to be bad, there are always bad people. It's almost an eternal principle. There'll always be bad people. Always in the world there'll be bad people. We saw a dead scorpion the other day. I'll read something about that. This is again from Chanakya, Niti Shastra. I just quoted that. The cruel person is worse than a snake, because a snake can be controlled by mantras and some kind of medicine. But a cruel person, kalakena nivarta, what can you do to control such a person? Incorrigible. So, another verse from Niti Shastra. Vrischikasya Vishang Pucham. Can you follow that? Vrischika means? Scorpion. So Vrischikasya means of a scorpion. Visham, poison. And Pucham in the tail. Comes in Telugu also, Pucha. So the scorpion has poison in the tail. Makshikaya, makshika, you know that word? Comes in Telugu also, makshika. In Hindi it's there, Makshika, you don't say? Means a bee. Makshika. One word. One word for bee. Different, there are different kinds of bee. So Makshika Vishama Shiraha. In the head. Then Takshakasya Vishang Dantang. Takshak is a kind of snake. So the Visham is in the dantam, in the teeth. Then Sarvangam Durjanasya cha. And the poison is in every limb of the body of a cruel human, of a bad human. Their whole being is, not that there's literally poison, but their whole attitude is poisonous. Hare Krishna. It's not pleasant to discuss, but it's a lot more unpleasant to fall into the clutches of such people who can take pleasure in torturing others, literally. Maybe it's some children, that's described about, what's the name, Manduka Muni? As a child, he pierced an ant with a piece of sharp grass. A child may do that without thinking, just to torture some other living being. Now, we sometimes feel about people who they're living in luxury, they have so much money, and they still feel very insecure. There are other people who are in that situation. Konyosti sadrishang maya. Who is there like me? That just comes in the verse previous to the one which we just read. There's no one to compare to me. They feel so comfortable. They think they can get away with anything. Someone thinks, I'm from a rich family, I can do whatever I like. This Sanjay Gandhi, the eldest son of Indira Gandhi, was known that if he saw some young woman, he liked her, he'd just, okay, bring. No consideration, he's married, unmarried, bring, he'll enjoy. No one can say no. No one can say no to him. So he felt so secure. No one can do anything to me. I can do whatever I like. Unlimited power. There was no outgushing of grief when he died in an airplane accident. He just thinks he can get away with whatever he likes. We have in Bhagavatam also that Avanti Brahmana, he was a Brahmana by caste, but he was doing business as a merchant, and he was very cruel and miserly. Even his own family members, they didn't openly say it, but actually they despised him. Even though he was very rich, he would screw out the last penny from poor people just to get more rich. That still goes on. In North India, the Baniya class, they're generally reputed to be just cruel in their monetary dealings. They'll give, not so much now because loans are mostly from banks, but they'd give loans and then on terms that people can never pay back, and then they take the interest until the people have nothing left, and then they have to sell their land. And it goes on like this. There's no heart. So the opposite of that is that's the Vedic ideal. Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. See, everyone is my family. Be kind to all. Udaradhi. Broad-minded. Broad-minded means not just thinking of my own interest, but thinking how everyone can be benefited. My my life is not meant to just give distress to others. It's meant for let me serve others. But this small-mindedness, just thinking in terms of one's own self-interest, actually it's not even one's self-interest, because patanti narake shuchau, it's described here in this verse, such a person who acts in such a cruel way, they fall into hell. But they have no thought of such a thing. They just think, I'm here, I'm in this situation, and let me exploit others. The fact that they're going to die soon and they'll have to suffer for their sinful activity, they never think. Small-mindedness. They just think in terms of I, me, and mine. Ahamma meti. I, me, I, and mine. That's all they think of. So this comes from the bodily concept of life. I am this body. The body will die. When the body is finished, everything is finished. Even in devotion, we'd think that people take into Krishna consciousness, they should be also. They should be free from such a mentality. But it may be there also. My temple, these people are under me. Basically all children, they tend to be very self-centered, isn't it? Narcissistic. They're interested in themselves. It's like that. And the parents, especially the mothers, they are hardwired, you could say. That's the fashionable term. Psychologically hardwired to respond to that. So the parents don't mind if the child in the middle of the night is crying, they just take it as normal, and the child, they expect to be served, and they have no other way to live, and they're completely helpless. But usually children grow up, I mean, physically, but mentally, emotionally, they become more mature, and then they realize, well, there are other people in the world also. I have to think of them also. I can't just act for myself. Not all people do grow up in that way. They might grow up in a manner that they are adult in some ways, and they know how to live in the world and to work in the world, but they never really lose that sense of I am in the center and everything is meant for me. So these are the kind of people who we can describe them as evil. Because if a child is very self-centered, that's understandable. But if someone grows up and they're still like that, and then they become more intelligent and they can scheme how to cheat others and exploit them, very dangerous. So this self-centeredness, as we grow up, we expect that to just come out of that. And actually think in terms of how we can help others, benefit others. And for someone in Krishna consciousness, that should be there, isn't it? Yes, yasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvari gunais tatra samasate suraha. All the good qualities of the godly people are supposed to manifest in the person of a devotee automatically, because a devotee is not thinking of himself, he's thinking how to serve Krishna, and Krishna loves everyone, so a devotee should love everyone. So that should be seen in the person of a devotee. And okay, shall we stop there? We can continue tomorrow. You don't know because you're sitting under the shade, under the veranda. But we here, sitting. Of course, the rain might stop also. It might, it's just a few, sometimes like this we've seen in the last few weeks, just a few drops for a few minutes. And even the other night, it was just like this, a few drops for most of the night, I presume, because I got up about 10:30 and again about 2 o'clock to pass water. And both times, it was just little water dropping like this. So I could go. If it's like this, it's okay, huh?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. What about your fancy equipment there? That's okay, you need a shade for that? No, I'm talking about this camera here.
Camera is weatherproof.
It's weatherproof. You can do scuba diving and shoot all the... shoot, I mean, not with a gun, but the all the marine life, is it? You can get a good photo of a killer whale. Till he comes and eats you. Okay, what's going on in the world? Why is it so bad? Let's think about that. There could be various... How about this? Think about this. This is something that Srila Prabhupada discussed. Industrialization... just the ethos that it creates cruelty. Now how is that? How does a car, for instance, a car is a very common product of industrialization, how does a car create cruelty? Okay, let's think about it. Well, in the beginning of the Industrial Revolution first happened in England, or in Great Britain, and the conditions in which the people, they were brought from the country and put in horrible living conditions, and the owners of the factories didn't care. There are quite a few books written throughout the 19th century about how the horrible living conditions of the factory workers. I guess similar kind of things going on in India now, because in the name of developing the country, they have big factories and they don't care about the government doesn't seem to care very much about the conditions of the workers and all the pollution, and they're getting... they don't care, and how they're getting so many diseases and all this. So that's one thing. Another thing, one of the major industries by which Britain became so prosperous was the cotton industry and the Lancashire cotton mills. And how is that? Because cotton doesn't grow in England, so they had to import it. They were importing it from America, and they could get cheap cotton from America because of the slave trade. Horrible exploitation. Then there was the American Revolution, which has at least ostensibly started to stop slavery. But that pushed up the price of cotton, so then they needed Indian cotton. And it was very important for Britain's prosperity and development to have Indian cotton, which also meant that they had to have a navy to control the seas, because there are other people, other countries and pirates out there on the seas. And now one of the major markets, or the major market for British goods produced in the Lancashire cotton mills by paying the workers next to nothing and keeping them in horrible conditions, the major market was India. But why should people in India buy cloth from the Lancashire mills when India had their own expert weavers for generations? So the British had a solution for that in the famous muslin of East Bengal especially. Was the weavers, they're making by hand, So the British had a solution, the Ekalavya solution. They cut off all the thumbs of all the weavers, and then they could, that was it, finished. And then the Lancashire cotton, they're able to keep the price low, so that, because by the time you take the cotton to from India to England, bring it back again, there's so many costs involved. But then there, anyway, so many things to keep the prices down in, of the cotton down in India, and then the cost of the production down, and they made their profit. So that's just one example of how to develop this, and only spoken about in a very general way, about how to make industrialization work. You have to keep, at least from the capitalist point of view, to use Marxian terms, you have to keep population exploited. Now, what about tractors? That's a good idea, isn't it? You can increase the production of food products. Yeah, but not, it's not good news for the bulls. The bulls are in the Western world, they were using more horses for plowing. There was a famous horse breed in England, the Suffolk Punch. Big, strong, you don't see them anymore because they're not needed anymore. They're called the Suffolk Punch horse. Very strong for plowing. So what happens to the bulls then with their tractors? And then they get killed. Slaughterhouses. Slaughterhouses also? Industrialized. Mass sophisticated cruelty. And then by the machines, so many machines, and there's less need for people to do work. Like for the bulls, you need a plowman behind the plow. But if everything's done by machine, what will you do with all the people? Then Srila Prabhupada said one reason they made the Vietnam War is to send off so many people, just like culling the population. Cut down the population. All these hippies, what are these useless people? Make a war, send them off, let them get killed. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples related to Srila Prabhupada about the Vietnam War that sometimes the soldiers became so disgusted that they would shoot their own officers. They're forcibly sent out to fight a war. They don't know what. The idea is to stop communism. But Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali famously said, I don't have anything against those Vietnamese. When he said, at least they don't call me a nigger. Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, famous figure in the Western world, in our generation. So he went to prison rather than going to war. So, they're making wars. I think it was last time I was in Los Angeles a few years ago, I saw a car driving, someone was driving around on their car. They had written in big letters so anyone could see. You know, people put the bumper sticker, if you drive behind the car you can see it, but this was written all over the car. America is addicted to war. So it may not be that even the people like it, but they have no choice. They're sent to war. The machine civilization, making more and more machines. Most of these machines, there's scientists, so many scientists, they're engaged in developing various items of sophisticated technology for killing people. What a nasty society. Here in Bhagavad Gita, here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, they earn money by illegal methods. I just want to talk a little bit. I'll quote from what Srila Prabhupada said something about this. He said, talking in Johannesburg in South Africa, October the 17th, 1975, there, Srila Prabhupada said, there are so many organizations. Ah, the rain stopped, you see. It's only little rain for 2 minutes. There are so many organizations, especially in the Western countries, big rogues organizations, simply for cheating, simply for smuggling. Big organizations. Now, there are some famous gangs, mafia gang, famous. Somehow or other, the mafia in Italy and America, they're going on for generations. That means the police know they're there. Somehow they don't stop, either they can't, or they don't, or they won't, or they're afraid, or they're getting paid off, but they just go on, generation after generation. Those are illegal organizations, but there are legal ones also. Srila Prabhupada said, they have got merit, in other words, they have some intelligence. Otherwise, how have they organized such a big organization? People are intelligent, but what are they making such a big organization for? Srila Prabhupada said, all mischievous activities, harassing by the governments, harassing people. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, all these realty businesses, 75% of them are mischievous. That means selling properties, realty business. I have got experience, 75% they are simply mischievously planning. You have got $5,000 or $10,000 to take it away, showing that you are getting $200,000 worth of property. They'll tell you, even one of our devotees told me, prior to joining, he was sitting in the Empire State Building, phoning people up and selling them property in, I don't know, the Appalachian Mountains or something. Telling them, you can get this property and you'll earn so much money, it's a great investment. And they'd take from them $10,000, and I'm not sure whether they gave them any land or not, but it was all a cheating business. Maybe you remember how long ago, 20, 30 years ago, I used to see in the Indian newspapers all the time, invest in teak. That was another swindling business. You invest in teak plantations, and in 20 years you'll get so much money. It was just a cheating business. Still going on now, but not so much as before, because people are... And if you go on the internet, it always comes up, how to earn 20,000 rupees in your spare time. All the time, I never bother to look, because obviously it's some cheating thing. Or something pops up, you are the lucky one who has won 25 lakhs. Just click here, don't click. You know they're cheating. It's not so. So Srila Prabhupada says, they make an implication, take your $10,000 and then finish. Be careful if you're doing any land deals. You have to be very, very careful. They're very expert. They'll take your money. They seem very reliable. And then you sign, and then you didn't read all the small print, and it's all gone. Too late. Legally, you signed away your money. So Srila Prabhupada said, their only business is this. Big lawyers involved. Yeah, lawyers? They have to, by legal methods, they cheat you. Therefore, they are duskritinas, Prabhupada says. Go to a lawyer, immediately you're implicated. You see this, Srila Prabhupada is talking about Richard Nixon. This man is condemned and he has to pay the lawyer's bill by working hard, by writing a book and selling the goodwill to some company. He has to pay the lawyer's bill. This Richard Nixon, apparently he had so much lawyer's bill, so he had to write some book to pay off. The lawyers, the doctors, as soon as they get some opportunity, immediately capture you and finish you. How to take all your money. Here in India, and all the middle class women have to have cesarean deliveries. Why? Cesarean is only, used to be something very rare. Why? Because you get more money. The doctors, take much more money for a cesarean delivery than for a normal delivery. So every time, practically, isn't it? Every time they say, oh, very dangerous, you have to have a cesarean delivery. And then they get more money. Known, but you don't, the parents, they're afraid. So the doctor say, no, you can't want it, very, very, very dangerous, you have to have, they don't know, they're afraid, they don't want the wife to die and the child to die. So by blackmail, they tell them, they don't need the operation. Even there are people who are like brokers, they act almost as brokers, that to get business for the hospital, the doctors act as brokers. They recommend operations when operations are not needed. And then they get a percentage from the hospital. And many times they don't care. People may be very poor also. So they have to take a loan and sell off their whatever little land they have. In this way they're sucking money out of people, Srila Prabhupada says. Then Srila Prabhupada says, because artificially they have enhanced the standard of living, they want money. So they do mischievous activity. By honest means, they cannot get money. Because people think, I have to live at this very high standard of living. By honest means, they can't get it, so they go to sinful activities, nasty activities. So we may assume that it's normal for humans to be good and kind and nice. You would expect that, wouldn't you? You'd think like that. But someone could argue, well, it's just as human to be bad. Because basically everyone's acting for their own benefit more than anything else. So if someone acts selfishly, greedily, in a manner which is detrimental to others, you might just expect that, because ultimately everyone's out for themselves. Just that some people are more willing to act in a horrible way to fulfill their desires, but basically everyone's out for themselves. So you may say, well, what's wrong with being bad? Bad is good. If you're trying to be good, you're stupid. Someone may say like that. Why are you trying to be good? If you could benefit more by being bad. And that's arguable also, that this capitalism, or the it makes a system of competition. I'm not a Marxist, by the way. But I'm not a communist, but I'm just giving the argument, but where competition, the idea that it's the survival of the fittest, if you get ahead of others, competition is more important than cooperation. And in such a world, those who are prepared to fight dirty and break the rules, they're the ones that win. Or they may even make the rules in such a way, or that they may act legally and still act in a manner which is most detrimental to others. And just gave the example of lawyers, doctors. Now, I'm not saying every lawyer is like that or every doctor is like that, but it's a well-known phenomenon, the cesarean operations. I just gave an example. And increasingly in the world today, it seems to be accepted that it's all right to manipulate others and deceive others. And look, the President of the United States of America, he's a big businessman, and he's a big businessman by wheeling and dealing, not by being good. And someone may say, well, anyway, some people are bad. They're acting for their own benefit. But even the people who are good are acting for them, because it makes them feel good to be good. You can make all kinds of arguments. Why is the world so bad today? Is it the media, on the television and the internet? You see all so many bad things. Is that a factor? Why? You don't see the news that, well, someone helped others, someone else selflessly. If it's a major act of selflessness, then it might get in the news. But badly, mostly all the bad thing comes in the news. Otherwise, it's not that everyone's evil, is it? Well, probably. Not everyone's evil and scheming and trying to destroy others. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any humans left. We'd all be extinct. There'd be a bunch of apes with a museum showing a stuffed human being. They have a stuffed dodo in Oxford, I think, in a museum. A species that used to be is no longer there. Yeah. So there must be some kind of goodness left in humans. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada, he often challenged people, why don't you eat your children? And people become shocked. Oh, how could you say such a thing? And Prabhupada said, you eat the animals. You say, why, the animals, they don't have any intelligence, so we can eat them. Prabhupada said, well, your children don't have any intelligence. You can eat them also, by the same logic. So you could do. But people think that's very bad, and it is, of course, very bad. It's unthinkably bad. So there must be some kind of goodness, otherwise we'll all be extinct. So we're talking about cruelty, but isn't that natural? You see, the lions don't think in a moral way or humanitarian way when they chase some zebra or elephant and kill. Doesn't think that, well, this zebra is the loving father of a nice family and everyone will be upset. They don't think, they just go and kill. But then, of course, animals, we can't say they're good or evil. They're just animals. But humans, well, animals kill out of fear or for food. But humans, it seems they're capable of killing just for taking pleasure or torturing. They take some pleasure in that. Someone else may say that, well, good and evil, it's just a matter of perspective. What you say is good, I think is bad. What you think is bad, I think is good. Just like in Nazi Germany, many people have thought, oh, some Jews got killed. Good! They think that's good, very good. Of course, the Jews didn't think it was good. They think it's very bad. So they're all humans, so what some people think is good is what some people think is bad. Well, what shall we say? Everyone has an evil side? Is it? Gokul Chandra Prabhu told me that that was there in Nazi Germany, that was there in his country, Yugoslavia at the time. Ordinary people, they were told, they were put in the army, Croatian army told, you go and kill these Serbian people, just village people. Just go into their village and kill them all. Otherwise, previously to the Civil War, they were just all ordinary, decent, nice people. And they got in a war and then they was just killing other ordinary, nice, decent people like themselves. So how, is that evil there in everyone? Are we all just crazy? Don't just blame the video games and the politicians. We're all crazy. We're all a victim of circumstance. You don't blame the people in Germany who killed the Jews because they were... What is it? What's going on? What is going on? Well, that's why we're reading Bhagavad Gita. What is going on in this world? How can people be so bad? Well, we who are followers of Bhagavad Gita, or trying to take knowledge from that, we, more than others, having this knowledge from Bhagavad Gita, we can understand how bad people can be. And actually, as devotees, we hear so, especially you're getting into this dealing, counseling it's called, and you get to hear, you're just getting into it now more, but you'll get to hear so many bad things. I know myself, after years and years of being in a situation where people come and confide in me, there's so many bad things going on, even in ordinary, what we might call ordinary people's lives. So many bad things going on. But at the same time, we have hope. What is the hope? That even in this crazy world, people are, their tendency is there to be very bad, but the hope is there that everyone can be uplifted. Everyone can be purified by the process of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. We can look at ourselves also. We may think, oh, I'm such a great holy person, but, well, what was our past in this life and in previous lives? And what's in our mind now? Is it all completely pure thoughts, can we say? We don't have bad thoughts? So everyone can benefit from Krishna consciousness. And even though some people are extremely cruel, everyone has the possibility, everyone can be purified. And everyone has a tendency toward, in this world, everyone has a tendency or a seed in their heart of how they can be, by bad association, they can become cruel, taking pleasure in others' misfortune. One thing I see prominent in the culture I grew up in, it may not be there so much today, I don't know, because I grew up in England and the whole culture and it's changed a lot, but I haven't been there. But a lot of difference I see there in the culture I grew up in and the culture I'm living in now, broadly we can call Indian culture, is that in the culture I grew up in, there's a very strong tendency, at least where I grew up, to laugh at others' misfortune, to put others down for being, if someone's stupid, to make jokes at them. And I mean, it's not that it's not here in India, but it's very pronounced that if someone does something that is, which is stupid, then just make fun of them and or like that. Is it not more there than here? Even here in India, it doesn't matter that much whether someone's tall or short or thin or fat. People don't worry about it. It's a very big thing in the Western world. They think they really make fun of you if you're short, isn't it? And in the generation I grew up in, if someone was fat, like you were, especially when you were out there, they make fun of you like anything. But nowadays, so many people are fat, and maybe they gave it up, I don't know. So the cultural is there, but as devotees, we have to rise above that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that also. Parera udbeg, what is that? Parera udbeg, I got it written down here. Diache jay koto, diache jibere klesh. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes his life, portraying himself as a materialist, that how much anxiety I used to give to others, giving trouble to others. Devotee is supposed to be Paradukaduki, one who is unhappy by seeing others' unhappiness. The opposite of that is Paradukasuki, one who is actually happy by seeing others' unhappiness. And then Parasukaduki, one becomes envious of others' happiness. So devotees are supposed to come to the level of Yasman nodvijate loko lokan nodvijate chayaha harsha masha bayod vayagayar mukto ya sachame priyaha. Krishna says that a person who doesn't put others into difficulty, doesn't deliberately make things difficult for others, who is not disturbed by others trying to put him into difficulty, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. One person asked Srila Prabhupada, this is April 22nd, 1976 in Melbourne, in Australia. Why are people cruel? Exactly the topic. Why do they persecute other human beings and torture them? How is it that they are able to do this? Srila Prabhupada replied, because he is not in his normal condition. Under the dictation of Maya, he is thinking, this is my enemy, this is my friend, and he's acting like that. But when he becomes Krishna conscious, then he becomes learned. There is no more enemy, everyone is friend. Samas sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim nabhate param. So in conclusion, it is a bad world. There are many bad people. There is hope. Purification. Purification is possible by Krishna consciousness, by understanding that we are all part and parcel of Krishna, who loves everyone. That we are supposed to live in this world for serving Krishna, not for serving our senses. Simple thing to understand. Simple thing to understand. Others are suffering. Why should I give them more suffering? Let me try to act for their benefit. And the ultimate benefit is to give people the knowledge by which they can become free from the mentality by which they are impelled to do harm to others. That's knowledge of Krishna and our relationship with him. Simple thing. It's, if we start to think about it, it's almost overwhelming how bad the world is. But it's also most heartening what an easy solution there is by distributing this chanting of the holy names, Krishna Prasadam, people can become purified. We're so fortunate to have this opportunity to be in Krishna consciousness. So fortunate. Otherwise, who knows what horrible things we might be doing. So fortunate. We have to try to share this with others. Give people knowledge of Bhagavad Gita as it is, paradoxically spoken on a battlefield. Hare Krishna. Okay, I'll finish there.